Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland, and this is a happy Windrush day, belatedly, to anyone to whom that's important. So, in case you don't know, Windrush Day is supposed to be the 22nd of June, Midsummer's Day, most years. And that's because it's the day that a ship, the HMT Empire Windrush, made landfall in the United Kingdom in 1948. And it was the first large-scale immigration of non-white people into the United Kingdom. Obviously, non-white people, certainly since the early 17th century, Indian sailors, some people who were kidnapped in Africa, brought to the Caribbean in the most horrifically cruel conditions, forced to work in slavery, in some cases brought to England. Obviously, UK as such didn't exist at the time, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, all the rest of it. Some Chinese merchants coming at that time. If you go back to ancient Roman times, there were Roman legionaries from North Africa. Were they really black? It's debatable. I mean, certainly the Middle Ages there were a handful of black people. But 1948, that's when sort of black people would arrive several hundred in one day. So that's when it really became significant. So I know even in 1923, London was about 1% non-white, because the non-whites who'd arrived previous to the 20th century were overwhelmingly men who married white women, their children were half white, who married whites, again, the next generation, the grandchildren were three quarters white, and the next generation seven eighths, and just blended into the white community. But for the first time, these non-white ethnic minority communities achieved critical mass and became self-sustaining, and there was more and more immigration. So it was just after the Second World War. The United Kingdom still had rationing, was economically wrecked after the war, having lost 25% of its wealth. There was a shortage of workers, and some jobs were actually advertised in the Antilles. Remember, most of these countries were British colonies at the time, though they had their own parliaments and had done even since the era of slavery. They were not independent. They were moving towards it. Some of them brought up to have the United Kingdom on a pedestal, despite the abominable crimes that British people had committed against the black people of the Caribbean into the mid 19th century. So some of them had some sort of reverence for whatever the mother country, even though they had no ancestral link to it. So we often call it Windrush, forgetting that first word, empire. Windrush, sailing into Tilbury docks. This was an era when air travel was still prohibitively expensive. So to fill various gaps in the labour market. Another thing is there was still national service in those days in the United Kingdom, only phased out in the early 1960s, which to say that most young men had to do 2 years in the armed forces. And so that meant a lot of people above 18 into the early 20s were just not available for work, the shortage of farm labourers, construction workers, and so on. And so a lot of the guys who arrived on the Empire Windrush had previously served in the Royal Air Force, other parts of the British Armed Forces, or in the West India Regiment in the Second World War, sometimes in combat, sometimes in auxiliary roles. Some of them lived in the United States for a while, and then were coming to the UK, and they've been important in the armed forces, or just doing factory work, any work really, in the Second World War when there was a labour shortage. But as the ship approached the United Kingdom, it was a Labour government at the time, there was rising panic. Oh, some people thought this would be a bad thing. Seems it really just was colour prejudice. And in those days, tens of thousands of people, Irish people, we arrived in Great Britain each year. And that didn't perturb people very much, even though Southern Ireland, we'd violently broken away from the United Kingdom a generation earlier. And the very next year, Southern Ireland proclaimed a republic, which was a breach of the Treaty of 1921 and a big two fingers to our neighbours. And I remember in the cabinet at the time, one Labour minister saying, the Irish, they think they're a different nationality, but they're not. Whereas these black people from the West Indies, they really are, and so on. And there was significant Polish immigration. Polish people had fled after 1939 and just didn't want to leave or whatever. Even German prisoners of war who were made to be farm labourers after the war, and then were offered to stay on, and some of them did indeed got married. So there was just racist bigotry towards some of these non-white people, mostly men who are arriving. Now, I'm not saying that all white Britons were racist, or even most, but I think it was a large minority. It was sort of approaching half. That's an absolutely vicious racist. Some of them were just sort of ignorant or patronizing or whatever, but just having never met whichever sort of person, and perceiving people as like monsters or something. I mean, I remember listening to some black anti-racist activists say this about. I mean, the obviously there's more racism in areas where there aren't Muslim, no non-whites, but if you if white people and non-white people mingle freely, they begin to see that people really are human, to regard the person as an individual, to see someone as multifaceted and not just some stereotype. I think that's a crucial thing, is individuality, is race really is skin deep. And that's quite unimportant. That doesn't actually tell you anything, whether you like this person, dislike this person, what the person's good at or bad at. So it's a very foolish and infantile prejudice to assume that color can tell you very much about a person. So the people arrived, they were overwhelmingly male, and there was very little housing, because over 20% of London's housing stock had been destroyed in the war, was being rebuilt by 1948, eventually partly by a lot of the people who arrived in this ship. And so they had to seek accommodation in a former bomb shelter in Clapham South. The nearest labour exchange, we now call it a job centre, was Cold Harbour Lane in Brixton. And that's why that became the epicentre of the black community in the United Kingdom. And that's why Windrush Square is there and so forth. So then the British Empire was transforming itself into a Commonwealth. India became independent. Pakistan, that was the year that Burma, i.e. Myanmar, Ceylon, that's to say Sri Lanka, became independent. People really thought the empire had a long-term future. But in those days, they were all British subjects if you're in the Commonwealth. And so there was no restriction on where you could go. So anybody, the entire population of Malaya, as then was, could come to the United Kingdom, or everybody from the UK could move to Tanzania or whatever, Tanganyika as you'd have called it in those days. I mean, I'm not sure it was from the dominions and colonies to each other. Could the whole population of Canada go to Hong Kong, or could the entire population of the Gold Coast, that's Ghana, shift to St. Kitts and Nevis? I'm not quite sure, but it wasn't only restricted till 1962. So even though the immigrants had been specifically invited and were completely legally come to the United Kingdom, they faced considerable prejudice. And I heard about people going to church and being told not to come back again and things like that. And there was no law against racial discrimination. Finding it difficult to rent a room, some people were moving to Notting Hill. I know, very shishy area these days, but then it was very down at heel. There were these Victorian townhouses which had fallen into rack and ruin. And Peter Rackman was a particularly exploitative rack renting landlord at the time. But that's where Claudia Jones, a communist activist from one of the Caribbean countries, I forget which, where she got that Notting Hill carnival going, celebration of black culture, the largest outside of Africa itself. So people have come to appreciate the Windrush generation, and it's terrible what Theresa May did when she was Home Secretary. Mustn't forget this disaster on her watch, which led to British citizens being deported in some cases. When I heard this, I couldn't believe it. I thought, no, that simply couldn't happen. I discovered it had happened. Truly scandalous. Obviously, apology to those people, need compensation paid. And some people came into the UK as babes in arms and were British and everything except the narrowest legal sense, and had to provide two pieces of evidence every year they were hurt here. Now that's unduly onerous. Who was going to hang on for two pieces of evidence? So I would give them citizenship for free. I would make it a rebuttable presumption the other way. It'll be assumed that they are British citizens unless it can be proven otherwise. I mean, yes, it's good to stop illegal immigration and to kick people out and so on, but it was unfair on those who've been in the UK for half a century and things like that. So it's definitely reshaped the United Kingdom. Okay, so people are contributing in all sorts of ways. And all right, there might be a few bad people as well. I don't know that you get good and bad people all over the world. So, the United Kingdom is a racial country. It's going to become even more multiracial. So I think that's morally neutral. I certainly don't mind. I'm very, very much a miscegenator. So yeah, big up race mixing. This can enrich and vivify culture. I don't want a monochromatic culture. Don't have to abandon indigenous British culture. And cultures are not hermetically sealed. They both transmit and receive memes. So yeah, so that's the Windrush generation. It definitely enriched the United Kingdom in both the literal and so I suppose that is something to jubilate, which is not to say there should be no limitations to immigration now whatsoever. Anyway, so thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.